Jesus rebukes Peter for thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Well, that's what we all do. We think as human beings think, unless we allow ourselves to be formed, to be instructed, if allow our hearts to be enlightened by God's word so that we can learn how God thinks. We had a great instruction on how God thinks and how different it is from human thinking on Sunday when we heard that contradictory description of who are the blessed and who are the cursed. Human thinking is that you're blessed if you're rich and well-fed and successful and popular. And if you're not, if you don't have those things, well then, woe to you. Jesus completely reversed that and said, blessed are the poor and the hungry and the weeping and the persecuted. He deliberately turned everything upside down to show us that God's way of thinking is completely different than ours. Well, this instruction on God's way of thinking is continued in today's readings. Today, James gives some very practical applications of what it means to consider the poor blessed. He speaks about the evil of partiality, what we would call in modern terms discrimination. And then in the Gospel, Jesus too makes clear that this reversal of values applies to himself and to his followers. He's the Messiah, but he has come to lay down his life, not to rise up as a human or a worldly leader. Now, perhaps we can reflect on this based on some current events. Today is the 150th anniversary of the Gomburza. You know that? The Gomburza execution, 1872, February 17, 1872. The three Filipino priests, Gomez, Burgos, and Zamora, executed by the Spanish colonial government. That execution, I'm no expert in this, but I think everybody recognizes that they were just scapegoats. Those priests were not particularly guilty of anything. They were just used as examples by the colonial powers to try to put down the idea of the Filipinos rising up and taking any place in society. I was reminded of this because today in Manila, there's a special penitential walk. This is being led by Cardinal Advíncula. There's a mass in Manila Cathedral at 9 o'clock, and then all the clergy are invited to walk from the site of the execution, which is somewhere outside the Intramuros, I don't know exactly the place, but to a shrine. So a kind of commemorative and penitential commemoration of this unjust execution by the state against the church. Remember what things were like back in 1872, 150 years ago. It was very much like what James describes in this first reading. There were the rich and the people with the fine clothes and the gold rings, and that was basically the Spanish and those whom the Spanish favored. That was in the secular society, but in the church as well, there was a clear class distinction. There were the Spanish priests, and they were the ones who were allowed to become religious and bishops, and then there were some Filipino priests who were second class, if not third class, citizens. And that was creating a lot of unrest within the church. The church herself was violating this principle that James makes so clear. It was an upper class, lower class church. anyway, back in 1872, there was some kind of an uprising, and the Spanish decided to make the Gomburza into the example, and they executed them publicly. And that execution of three men who were not directly involved in any rebellion became the seed, or one of the seeds, of the eventual revolution years later. Probably you know this history better than I do. José Rizal was deeply affected, or his brother was very deeply affected by that execution of those three priests. They were Cavite priests, I think. So anyway, without going into all that, I want to point out that this historical event 150 years ago and the commemoration of it today, it also points to this reversal of values. These three lower class priests who were put down even further, they were strangled in public, garroted, they became the catalyst for a new sense of national identity that eventually led to the independence movement. So the effort of the rich to put down the poor backfired on them. Now I don't think those priests are considered holy. I don't know really. They're not honored in the church as saints or anything. But in the secular terms, they're like secular martyrs, martyred for the nation. Well, in that sense, they reflect what Jesus talks about in today's gospel. Jesus did not come to gain power, earthly power and riches and influence. He came to lay down his life. And he said that he came to suffer at the hands of the powerful and even to die and to rise on the third day. That's the way God thinks. He thinks that sacrifice is more powerful than oppression. Peter, in this gospel, says, no, you've got it backwards. You're doing it wrong, Jesus. You shouldn't be the one to die. You should be the powerful one. You be the oppressor, not the oppressed. Jesus turns it right around. Again, this is all about this reversal of values. And says, get behind me, Satan. Satan is the one who thinks we should rise up and be powerful and use our power to oppress others and to gain advantage for ourselves. That's a satanic way of thinking. God's way of thinking is to make a gift of ourselves, even at the sacrifice of ourselves. So don't think like Satan, think like God. That instruction to the disciples in Caesarea Philippi didn't sink in right away. And as we can tell, even in the days of James, now this is another, 30, 40 years later when James writes this letter, it still hasn't sunk in because it goes so against human nature. So James points out what happens here is this idea of rising up, this idea of being rich, keeps tempting us. We keep looking for ways to make our situation better, and if we have to put other people down in the process, we'll do it. Human thinking. So he says, when rich people come into the church, or they get good treatment, and when poor people come along, or they get left outside, this still happens. As we know, this still happens. It's a very common attitude, and we have to identify it in ourselves. It's actually even present in the poor. If you know, working with the poor, sometimes the poor spend more time honoring the rich than the rich do. So it's a human problem. It's not just a problem of the rich. It's a human condition. We judge things according to natural or earthly standards. We all need a transformation of heart. Certainly, we among the clergy do. And that's why I think Cardinal Avinculo is part of the reason why he's doing this penitential pilgrimage. We all have to do penance for our pride, our partiality, our discrimination. But James puts it very well here, and this is a food for our souls. Did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? Those who are poor in the world are rich in faith. So this is that is the lesson that all of us must learn. Blessed are you who are poor. Sunday's Gospel. Poverty in the sense of being God-centered and other-centered. Reversing this tendency to put ourselves first. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord hears our cry when we are poor, when we are depending on Him. When we're rich, we don't cry. We don't cry out to God. We just take care of ourselves. Today is also the feast of the seven holy founders, of the Servites. These men were, they were not poor, they were middle class, they were merchants in Florence. They were fairly well to do. But because they took seriously the scriptures and because they had great devotion to Our Lady, they were led to choose a poor life. So they gave away their possessions and began a life of poverty and of service. And we honor them as holy saints now. One of the reasons why this community stands out is because they didn't seek holiness like they were individual champions. They practiced communal holiness, which is a humbler way. Do you know the names of any of these seven men? Most people don't know any of them. We know the big saints, we know St. Francis, we know St. Padre Pio, we know St. Mother Teresa, we know their names, they're famous. But these men are holy as a group, and that's another way we can humble ourselves. If we are holy without, for pursuing holiness, without attracting attention to ourselves. Okay, so we ask for the intercession of the seven holy founders as we recall the Gomburza priests, and as we recall this problem of, or this constant temptation of discrimination, of richness, we let the seed of the word be planted in our hearts to be poor, to find our blessing in being poor, and to be confident that the Lord hears the cry of the poor.